Trend number 5, the fabulous world of biofabs arrives. Malaria kills 853,000 children under the age of 5 every year. Some 3.2 billion people in 107 countries are potentially at risk for catching malaria. Up to 500 million people contract the disease every year, and more than a million deaths are directly caused by it. This is made even more tragic by the fact that there is a cure for malaria. It's called artemisinin and is a natural compound found in the sweet wormwood tree in northern China. It completely eliminates the parasite from the body. So why isn't it being distributed worldwide? The answer is the tree doesn't make enough artemisinin to extract it on an industrial scale. Before even a dent could be made in the treatment doses needed, all the sweet wormwood trees would vanish from the earth. You might suggest that the compound be synthesized, and that would be a good idea, except for one thing. To do that requires copying the collection of genes known as the genetic pathway that makes artemisinin in the tree. Those genes, once copied, would have to be inserted into a suitable organism that could grow the compound, such as yeast cells. If that sounds like genetic engineering, it is. Yet despite the fact that we've had the basic techniques of genetic engineering mastered for several decades now, it's not as simple as it sounds. For one thing, the genetic pathway for producing artemisinin consists of 9 genes. Each gene has 1,500 DNA bases on average. If scientists wanted to create an artificial way of making the drug, they'd have to try out various versions of the pathway and discover one that would make more of it than the tree does, preferably lots more. That means assembling different combinations of 9 genes with 1,500 bases each, or roughly 13,000 bases, for every new version of the complete pathway. In addition, they'd want to make variations of each gene in the pathway to fine-tune the production for peak efficiency. Making just 2 versions of each gene would require 512 constructs, or 6 million nucleotide bases. The task of testing genetic pathways rapidly becomes overwhelming using today's manual techniques for synthesizing DNA. But what if you could automate that entire process? Better yet, what if you could do it all on a chip? Enter the microarray, the equivalent of a large computer chip that uses the natural properties of DNA and RNA to let scientists determine the expression level of thousands of genes in a single pass, with the results being read by computer. A team of scientists called the BioFab Group has come together from institutions across the nation. The team has modified this technology to help them assemble and test the genetic pathway for creating not only a cure for malaria, but for AIDS and numerous other diseases as well. And the BioFab movement is taking the world of genetic engineering by storm, according to Scientific American. The members of the BioFab group founded a company called Codon Devices in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which is applying the engineering principles of the computer chip manufacturing sector to synthetic biology. It is their aim to transform biotechnology, especially gene synthesis and manipulation, into an industrial mainstay of the scientific and medical worlds. Synthetic biology stands today at approximately the place that electronic engineering stood at the end of the 1950s, when circuits were still soldered together by hand. In 1957, Gene Horney of Fairchild Semiconductor invented what's known as planar technology, which is the lithography technique in use today for making computer chips. All at once, electronic circuits could be printed automatically and reliably instead of laboriously assembled with a high error rate. It wasn't long before there was an entire library of standard circuits that engineers could simply plug together for various uses. The result, as we all know, was the rapid growth of computer power and shrinkage of circuit size characterized by Moore's law. This technology, known as chip fabrication or chip fab, has proven to be one of the most successful methodologies in history. Today, genetic scientists are still, in effect, hand-soldering together their circuits of DNA components. Moreover, the methods and tools aren't standardized. That's where the BioFab Group and Codon Devices come in. they've created the technology to build up a biofab industry in which standardized modular segments of DNA will be manufactured and used the way standard types of computer chips are used today. This will free the scientists to deal with the larger issues they're trying to address, instead of, in effect, working as technicians in their own labs. One of the things that makes real biological systems fast and accurate at assembling genes is that they run many different operations in parallel. The BioFab Group adapted existing microarray technology to run such parallel operations at densities of a million DNA fragments per square centimeter. These fragments are then chemically assembled into the desired gene sequences. By creating modular sequences of nucleotides, they can then readily assemble any combination to produce the desired gene. According to the journal Science Letter, CODON recently completed its pilot program under a National Institutes of Health grant to create a library containing every human and mouse gene which has been synthesized with its automated system. In order to do that, the system had to faithfully reproduce 65,000 nucleotides. The rapid delivery time and error-free operation demonstrate that a cure for malaria and other diseases is much closer. But this automated technology for gene synthesis, which is called the BioFab platform, will also have a profound impact on molecular biology, drug discovery, vaccine development, pharmaceutical manufacturing, agriculture, and renewable energy, just to name a few. The same technology that creates new genes can be tailored to make new proteins for industry, such as chemical catalysts or proteins that degrade environmental pollution. It can also build enzymes that will destroy disease organisms or even cancer cells. By using the BioFab methods, a protein-based vaccine could be created on the fly for anything from SARS to bird flu. This would produce a vaccine much faster than even the most reliable traditional methods. Given this understanding of the BioFab trend, we forecast the following four developments. First, by 2020, genetic engineering will become a fully mature industry. Until now, it has proceeded by fits and starts, much as the computer industry did between World War II and the 1970s. At that time, there were numerous companies of varying sizes making computers and electronic components. All the technological pieces of the puzzle existed, but they had not yet been brought together or fully exploited. Moreover, no one yet knew which companies or business models would succeed or fail. Just as Fairchild failed to reap the rewards of the technology it pioneered, look for companies that are analogous to Intel, Microsoft, and Apple that can find and exploit the sweet spots in the value chain. Second, in the next 10 to 20 years, we will see an intense period of rapid development in the biofab industry, which is actually the convergence of several fields that share common technologies. Already, dozens of labs exist that are creating drugs, vaccines, biological computers, sensors, and industrial chemicals through this means. As a systems biologist at Harvard pointed out in a recent Knight-Ritter report, scientists can now encode DNA to do virtually anything you can think of. Third, expect a backlash as people express their fears of misusing genetic engineering, followed by an era of enormous progress. The journal New Scientist, for example, recently explained how a terrorist could manufacture the smallpox virus by re-engineering genetic material that can be ordered on the Internet. Add this to the controversy we've already seen regarding cloning and human embryonic stem cell research, and you have a major controversy on your hands. But when the dust settles, around 2020, synthetic biology, properly overseen and controlled, will combine with the burgeoning field of nanotechnology to virtually eliminate the diseases we've known throughout history. For example, using genetic engineering and synthetic biology, there is no reason that a human liver couldn't be grown in a pig, then transplanted. The process would begin with the patient's own DNA, thus eliminating any possibility of rejection. Moreover, with industrial-scale biofab technology, it will become cost-effective to target cures for every disease for which there is a known cause, even those that afflict only a few hundred people each year. And fourth, by 2050, whole new classes of living materials that combine nanotech properties with synthetic biological capabilities will be in use. For example, smart clothing that not only provides heating and cooling but cleans the wearer and the clothing itself will be commonplace, as will carpeting that literally eats dirt. Crops will use photosynthesis to create starch and sugars, and then use a parasitic yeast-like organism to ferment it, thereby turning sunlight directly into ethanol for fuel. And artificial life forms that live off various forms of pollution will rehabilitate the environment on a continuous basis.